This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Today on the show, we have Meryl Pereira, CEO of the Restaurants Division for QSR Berhad. Meryl, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning. In 1973, KFC opened its first shop here, bringing its finger-licking goodness to Malaysians. And since then, QSR has grown it to become the country's largest restaurant chain operator. And KFC forms the largest part of the QSR business and is the key driver to its growth. So share with us, Meryl, the performance of KFC today here in Malaysia.
So today, KFC has just crossed over 700 stores. We've been here for more than 45 years, and we are a fully vertically integrated business. So everything that we do is from farm to fork. KFC is about 2.6 times bigger in store numbers compared to the number two competitor. And when you look at our market share, we are 44% of the market share in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, as a group, QSR, we have over 1,100 restaurants across KFC and Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut, we've got, as of today, 391 restaurants. And when you look at our market size, we are like 27% of the market size for the pizza business out here, which is, again, the number one. And when you look at our store numbers, from a store numbers point of view, we are like 1.9 times bigger in store numbers compared to the number two competitor.
So number two competitor here being McDonald's?
In KFC, the number two competitor, yes, is McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And in Pizza Hut, the number two competitor is Domino's.
Okay. So to date, the group operates over 1,100 KFC and Pizza Hut restaurants, as you shared, Meryl. That's you guys serve approximately 25.6 million customers a month. So what's your growth plans like moving forward?
Okay. So when you talk about the QSR group, mm-hmm. The QSR group also owns the businesses in Singapore. So we own KFC and Pizza Hut in Singapore. We also own the KFC businesses in Brunei and Cambodia. So when you look at it from our group size point of view, we are like more like 1,270 restaurants as a group. In Malaysia, we are a little over 1,100 restaurants. So our plans for the future is to keep growing the brands. We are committed over the next 3 years to open across both the brands in Malaysia, more than 150 restaurants. And one of the things about our growth is not only growing new stores, but we also make sure that we are always keeping our assets up to date. So on an average year, we would do close to about 200 what we call image enhancements to make sure the stores don't look tired. They're always looking up to date and they're modern. So we do those on a yearly basis.
So QSR is the only company to have been granted the rights by Yum Brands to establish and operate KFC restaurants here in Malaysia, Singapore, Cambodia and Brunei, as well as Pizza Hut restaurants in Malaysia and Singapore.
Correct.
Are you considering to pitch to operate in other new markets here in the region?
No, we're not looking to pitch at any of the markets right now. Our focus is Malaysia and to grow the brands that we have in the countries that we have.
Okay, the majority of your business is derived from your operations in your primary market here in Malaysia, followed by Singapore. So what's the breakdown in earnings like in terms of countries, and how do you see your earnings growing in foreign countries moving forward?
So, I mean, in our growth, I would say 85% of our business comes from Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And with regards to our earnings going forward, as you know, we've just submitted our plans for an IPO with the Securities Commission. So
yes.
There's things I can't disclose on how we're going to go moving forward.
Well, we'll get back to the IPO exercise later in the show. But wow, 85% of your market comes from Malaysia. That shows that Malaysians love their chicken and pizza.
Yeah, I have this saying that I tell people that we serve the population of Malaysia once every 6 weeks.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Well, share with us the synergies within the QSR group. For example, this farm-to-fork synergy that exists within the group. What's that about?
So we own the upstream business. And the upstream business is the chicken farms and the chicken production. And also, you know, we go about with our other products like our buns. We all do that in-house internally. So for us, it's a big plus because it's, you know, we know where the chickens start from and where they end up with. To give an example, we sell nearly 52 to 54 million chickens a year. So so that's a lot of chickens. But, you know, part of being a big group, we have also, or what we have is our shared services. So we've been able to go and negotiate with our key suppliers from overseas and locally on long-term contracts, whereby we are able to lock in the prices for the next few years. At the same time, from a supplier point of view, they get some comfort in knowing that a brand as big as QSR can lock in a long-term contract with them too.
Recently in the budget, for budget 2019, sugar tax was announced. How would, you know, these new initiatives in the budget impact your plans moving forward or your profit margins, given, you know, this recent imposition of the sugar tax as well as the SST that has come on stream?
Yeah. So I've been in this business for close to 30 years in various countries, and governments all over the world are slowly moving in with the sugar tax. So we are quite used to dealing with this. I mean, we would work in with our key beverage supplier, which is Pepsi, and work out what's the best way moving forward. But this has happened in the past in the other countries that I've worked with, and we do our best to make sure that the consumer doesn't get impacted with us moving prices or whatever just because the tax is coming.
You don't think that will impact your overall prices?
We, at this moment, it's just been that the budget just came out in the last
recently?
Few days.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already spoken to our beverage suppliers and, you know, we look at what's the best way moving forward.
Okay. Do you think there might be an impact to your margins, or are you still waiting and looking at the numbers, still working that out?
So we'll always keep looking at our numbers and then work out what's the best strategy moving forward on how do we do this. But for us in QSR brands, it's really important that, you know, across both Pizza Hut and KFC, is that we offer everyday value to our customers.
Okay. Well, people is important when it comes to business, and especially so in the F&B business that you are in. What strategies could QSR employ to balance that need for expansion that you are undergoing right now? You're going on an expansion path with the need for suitable and well-trained staff.
So over the years, one of the key things that I've had to work on is talent management and succession planning.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at growing at the way we plan to grow, you need to make sure you've got a strong pipeline of people. So within the Yum system and the QSR system, we've got fast-track programs whereby we are constantly training our people and constantly looking for new talent. So for us, even when I look at the end of the year when I do my review and when my review is done, we have KPIs based on succession planning. So when I go and sit with my boss, it's like, how many people do you have ready to do your job? And will they be ready now, or will they be ready in a year or 2 years' time? So this is top of mind for us. People is always top of mind for us. It's our big focus. Otherwise, we can't grow.
Mm. You've been in this fast food industry for the past 3 decades. You spent some 20 over years in working in McDonald's in Australia and looking after the Asia-Pacific operations. And you just joined QSR about 3 years ago. How has the fast food industry evolved over this time that you've been working in it?
The industry has evolved at an amazing pace. Social media has helped to make that go even faster. But in today's world, it's all about being transparent. And also in today's world, the customers are expecting a lot more than what they would 30 years ago. To give you an example, 30 years ago, you would never walk into a QSR restaurant or a fast food restaurant and expect to be served with plates and knives and forks, because they always thought that's what people thought was unsafe in the restaurants.
Mm.
But today when you go into a fast food restaurant, you're being served with, you know, proper china and forks and knives. We always have this challenge where, especially in fast food, people talk about, you know, when are you going to have healthy options? So that's always top of mind. That always keeps coming up. But the reality of life is, even when you launch healthy options, your majority of your menu mix is still your core product. So in Pizza Hut, 70% of our menu mix is pizzas. In KFC, 73% of our product mix is chicken.
Mm.
You know, it's original and hot and spicy. So yes, the industry has changed. Digital has stepped up in a big way. You know, people say we need to be digital. For me, digital is like 5 years ago. You know, it's what are you doing? And so if you look at it, what we've done with the Pizza Hut brand is over the last 2 years, we've been working on, as part of the whole turnaround of Pizza Hut, is we've been working about how do we become more relevant to our customers.
Mm.
And so from a digital point of view, we've come up with a web responsive, a responsive website. We've also come up with an app. We are making it easier for customers to be able to order food. We are looking at delivery is the now, and it's, delivery is also the future. So in Pizza Hut, we've just signed a collaboration with Food Panda. Currently, we have about 80 stores that are delivering for Food Panda. In the next two months, that'll double. So delivery, digital, these are the big things that are happening now and changing the business right now.
I'm speaking to Meryl Pereira, CEO of the Restaurants Division for QSR Berhad. After this, we'll take a closer look at QSR Restaurants' digital strategy moving forward, as well as its parent company's IPO exercise slated soon. Stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, and my guest today is Meryl Pereira, CEO of the Restaurants Division for QSR Berhad. Meryl, earlier we were talking about the company's strategies in the midst of disruption that is going on. You know, how are you staying relevant? And you were talking about the trend of eating healthy and how that has moved consumer preferences towards eating healthily, right? Just how healthy, though, are your offerings when it comes to KFC and Pizza Hut?
Thank you, Joyce. I get that question a lot, and I tell people my honest answer, which is, you know, I'd have KFC at least twice a week.
Really?
And I have Pizza Hut minimum once a week. I've just done my complete medical check, and I'm fine.
Mm.
But also, I have a balanced lifestyle. I train, you know, anywhere between 3 to 5 times a week. I make the time to have a balanced lifestyle. So you'll always get that question coming up is, you know, how healthy is your food? But let's put it this way. If you want fried chicken or you want a pizza, there's no better place that you can get a proper, safe fried chicken or a pizza. So for me, it's all about balanced lifestyle.
Okay. You don't think that it's you don't think fast food is not healthy?
No, I don't think fast food is unhealthy. I mean, you can go and eat something from the local mamak place where they say it's healthy, but if you don't have a balanced lifestyle and you don't watch your calorie intake, you know, it's definitely going to be unhealthy for you. So
earlier before the break, you spoke about delivery and, you know, digital disruption. Pizza Hut, they used to pioneer the delivery business. I think close to 2 decades ago, they have this phone delivery number, 755-2525. And you know what? But somehow, I feel that the business has lost ground over some time as others surpassed it in the delivery business as they leverage through their individual app and online sites, the other competitors. What is your restaurant business doing about this fast-moving digital disruption?
Okay. When I came here in June 2016 and I was looking at the Pizza Hut brand out here in Malaysia, at that time Pizza Hut in Malaysia had been on a 5-year decline.
Mm.
And so it was time for us to evaluate everything that we were doing. And from the way you looked at the sales trend, it's what we were doing wasn't working. And so we put a turnaround strategy in place. And one of the big keys to the turnaround strategy was getting the right people in place, so getting the right marketing people in place, getting the right brand heads in place. And then on top of that, when we looked at it from a marketing point of view, which was promotions, we looked at how relevant we were. You know, I mean, our website was not relevant. We didn't have a mobile app. And everybody else was far ahead of us. So we had to stop and really look at what we were doing and what we wanted to do moving forward. And so for us to make it relevant, to make it easier for the consumers to be able to order their food, we started going into a digital strategy, which meant we launched a web responsive website.
Mm-hmm.
We also launched our own app. And we decided to focus on the basics of making sure that the operations were right. Over the last few months, we've collaborated with Food Panda. As we all know, the aggregator business is the now, and it's everybody's moving into it. So we've moved in with them, and we've got about 80 stores right now that are on with Food Panda. In the next 2 months, we will double that. So we've also got our own riders.
Mm.
we've got our own riders. We've got the Food Panda riders. But we're also working, like, I mean, right now we are in stage two of our app. And our app, I mean, we look at our rating on the app, it's like 4.5 stars. So it's a pretty good app. But we're not happy with that. We're still going to keep improving that. And we're also going to improve the website.
So since you started this initiative, this digital initiative to turn Pizza Hut around, have you seen sales improve or have they still continued on their declining trend?
Oh, no, I don't think I'd be sitting out here in my job if I didn't have Pizza Hut on the turnaround. So so last year we had double-digit growth in mm-hmm. sales. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's double-digit growth of same stores. So it's okay. not opening new stores because I didn't open any stores for the last 2 years.
Actually, yeah, I noticed that there's been a stop to the outlet growth of Pizza Hut in the last year. So you yeah. came out. Is this a new strategy?
So as part of the turnaround strategy, when I came in here in June 2016, was to look at the model. Mm. And as a result of that, I wanted to make sure that when we look at our assets, the assets that were not working, we relocated. So we didn't really close any stores, but we didn't open any stores. The negative assets were moved to better locations. Demographics change. Shopping centers close or new shopping centers open. Mm-hmm. You know, highways cross major intersections and everything else. So I had to look at the whole store portfolio. And as a result of that, we managed to relocate the negative assets. And we also came up with disruptive value as part of our turnaround strategy for Pizza Hut. So when you go into a store now, you have the wow takeaway, which is 5, 10, and 15, which is crazy value. I mean, when I was talking to people about this in 2016, they said, you won't survive
okay.
with that kind of value. But we've managed to do it. It's given us double-digit growth for 2017. And this year, we are positive.
Positive as in?
We are positive in same-store growth.
Right.
And that was part of the strategy. So the strategy was to end this year being positive.
Mm.
And when you look at last year's numbers being so huge, you know, it's a big plus for us.
So Pizza Hut is profitable. It didn't make losses in the time that, you know, before you came in and now that you've been working on this new strategy. Are they profitable, Pizza Hut?
Pizza Hut is profitable right now.
Okay. But when you say declining, it's just they saw a drop when it comes to earnings.
Correct, yeah.
All right. Okay, so I understand from my research that you're required to ensure that no more than 10% of your Pizza Hut outlets have a negative EBITDA by 31st December 2020. How far along are you from that target?
So we're on track.
You know,
the strategy is working. We've got good plans in place. We've had a strong marketing calendar in place. And so for us, we are on track. I mean, you know, anything can change. But for us, what I like about the team that I have is we are always evaluating what we're doing. We're never going to be happy with what we're doing.
Yeah. So what is the percentage of negative EBITDA stores right now for Pizza Hut?
I can't disclose that amount, that number right now, just because of what we're doing with
the IPO?
Plans moving forward. Yeah.
Okay. But is it quite big?
No, or it's manageable.
Is manageable half or... You can't.
I can't disclose that number, but okay. All I can say is it has been improving over the last few years.
Okay.
And that's part of our plan on the turnaround was to reduce the negative assets that we have.
What about KFC? Could you share that? How many of them have a negative EBITDA, or are they more profitable compared to Pizza Hut stores, the Pizza Hut brand?
KFC, of course, is very profitable.
Mm, okay.
You know, it's a strong brand.
So since you've started this digital initiative for Pizza Hut, what's the breakdown like in terms of walk-ins compared to them using the digital app when it comes to your sales?
So the way we look at, we don't look at walk-ins. We look at it basically as how many people are now ordering through the app.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that number's been growing at a very quick rate. So if you look at our digital sales, which was zero a few years ago, you know, it's now in double digit, which is great for us. And it will still get better because right now we are even trying different things where, you know, we're doing a test in one of our other markets where it's bring your own device. So you don't have to worry about having an app or whatever. You just bring your phone, you scan a QR code and you can place your order.
Okay. Well, social media is becoming increasingly important for marketing, especially in the F&B sector. What challenges do traditional F&B players such as yourself face in the midst of this fast-moving digital landscape?
Well, I mean, social media is one of the things that can keep a CEO up at night. you know, it's always there. I mean, everybody has a right to it and everybody will be out there. We have strong plans or what do you call SOPs in place to monitor this. Because as you know, social media, a lot of people can say a lot of things. Some of them are true, some of them aren't true. And for us, it's how do you you filter that clutter and know it. So we've got processes in place that help us monitor it, but it's there. I mean, if you just go onto the website, you'll see, you know, people saying different things about different companies. But for us, what we need to make sure is that, number one, is if there's something out there that's true, is that we're doing everything that we can to rectify it.
Well, the F&B business is the jewel in the crown when it comes to QSR's group. And this is where KFC and Pizza Hut, this is where your businesses are parked under. And a bulk of the IPO proceeds that QSR will be undertaking when it relists on the local stock exchange would be used to further expand its F&B business. That's your business, Merrill. So could you share a bit of the plans on this for us? Because yeah, I understand that it's for expansion of the KFC business across Malaysia as well as Pizza Hut business across Malaysia within the next 12 months.
Yeah. So, I mean, like we've disclosed with our submission to the Securities Commission, is that we will use the proceeds of the IPO to expand both Pizza Hut and KFC. As I mentioned earlier, across both the brands over the next 3 years, we will open across both the brands more than 170 restaurants across both the brands. And then we've also signed a collaboration with Petronas to open, you know, 50 stores over the next 3 years for KFC. On top of that, we want to make sure that our assets are relevant and up to date. And so more than 200 assets a year, we will get them reimaged to make sure they're new and they're up to date. So that's what we plan to do.
Mm. I noticed that as well, I mean, looking at your strategy, you're trying to localize the menu. So you do things like you include rice and all that on the menu when it comes to KFC. Could you share with us these kind of strategies to innovate and, you know, to stay relevant? Could you share a bit more with us? And where do you see KFC and Pizza Hut in the next 3 to 5 years?
So at any given time, Joyce, we're working on a 2 to 3 year marketing calendar. And everything that we do from a marketing point of view is consumer tested. So we never put anything into the market without getting the right rating for us to move forward on launching it in the store. So that's one of the key things that we have that's working for us right now. And when it's consumer tested, it goes to the right channels, and then we know whether the product's going to work or not going to work. So KFC Malaysia is, and even Pizza Hut Malaysia is a benchmark market for Yum. So some of the things that we've done in both these brands are now being replicated all over the world. So we've got the formula working right now, and we'll keep working at it and keep getting better at it. But it really helps when you're working so far ahead, you know, on a 2 to 3 year marketing calendar. So I know now, which I can't disclose, is what we'll be running in December 2019.
Mm, oh, wow, that far ahead.
Yeah, and I can tell you what Pizza Hut will run in 2020 too.
And you think whatever that you have planned will work? Because consumer preferences shift so much though, and it's quite unpredictable at times.
I totally agree with you, but that plan is a moving plan. Like, we've got a plan in place, but we're evaluating that plan every quarter. So every quarter when I meet with my teams, we are basically evaluating what we've got planned for this year and for next year. And yes, preferences will change.
I've been speaking to Merrill Pereira, CEO of the Restaurants Division for QSR Berhad. Merrill, thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you on the show. I'm Joyce Goh for The Breakfast Grill in the Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's mobile data service provider of the year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.